We started the share in Mem Aleph and Beis. We were discussing the various times that people would hold the lulav, even if it wasn't the Shas Brach and it wasn't the time of Hallel. When people would daven, they would hold the lulav. The Anshe Yerushalayim had a minhag that they would hold the lulav pretty much all day long, with a few exceptions. When they'd go to the Beis HaMedrash, they'd have their son or their Eved or their Shaliach bring it home for them, and they wouldn't carry it in the Beis HaMedrash. But pretty much whatever else they would do all day long, they were always carrying lulav abiyada. That was their chumrah. Then the Gemara went on to discuss Rabbi Yossi's din. Rabbi Yossi held that a person who's a toa b'dvar mitzvah, if on Shabbos a person forgets in his excitement to do the mitzvah of lulav, he carries his lulav out into the Rishus Rabbim, he's pater, he's not going to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. That's the concept of toa b'dvar mitzvah. So the Gemara first makes a qualification and says that's only if you haven't yet been yotzei the mitzvah. Once you've already been yotzei the mitzvah and then you're toa b'dvar mitzvah, you're going to be chayiv, because it's not called that you're being toa b'dvar mitzvah. So the Gemara wonders, what do you mean? By definition, you've already been yotzei the mitzvah if you pick up your lulav and you run outside with it, because the second you pick up the lulav, you're yotzei the mitzvah. Mida agbe nafakbe. So what do you mean if you've already been yotzei the mitzvah, you're not called the toa b'dvar mitzvah anymore? So two possibilities: either kishahavcho, you were holding it upside down, so you weren't yotzei the mitzvah yet, or Rava says no, you were a hotzio b'kli, you were carrying it in a kli, which is a derech b'zayon, and therefore it's a lekicha lidei davaracha. When you carry it using something else in a derech b'zayon, that's not considered to be a toa. That's not considered to be yotzei the mitzvah. So therefore, you're still going to be called a toa b'dvar mitzvah. The Gemara gave two more cases of toa b'dvar mitzvah. One is if a person accidentally finds an olas ha'of amongst a bunch of chata'os ha'of, and he thinks that he's allowed to eat it because he thinks it's a chatas, so he eats it. So we're told that he's potter for eating the ola. So even though the chiddush over there is, even though he's not even doing a mitzvah, by the lulav at least, when you're toa b'dvar mitzvah, you're actually doing a mitzvah at the end of the day. Over here, you're not even doing a mitzvah, still you're called the toa b'dvar mitzvah, you're potter. But the third case we have that sounds like toa b'dvar mitzvah, if a person shechs a korban tamid that was einu mevukar, that hasn't been checked for 4 days in advance for mumin, on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv, he's not called the toa b'dvar mitzvah, because that's just complete negligence. How can he take an animal from the area where the animals weren't checked for a mumin in advance? So that's not even called the toa b'dvar mitzvah. Such a person is chayiv. The Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph tells us that when a person comes home, he can give his lulav to his wife and she could put it right back in the water, even on Shabbos. On Yontif, the Rabbi Yehuda says, not only is she allowed to put it back in the water, she could add more water to it, and on Chol HaMoed, she could even switch the water out entirely. And the chiddush is that the woman's allowed to do it, even though the woman herself is not chayiv in the mitzvah of lulav. We don't assume that the lulav is muktza to her. We assume that she's still allowed to take it from her husband and put it back in the water. The Mishnah also mentioned that once a child is old enough to know how to do the nanuim, to know how to shake a lulav, we should be mechanich him in the mitzvah of lulav. So the Gemara goes on a whole list of different ages where we're mechanich a child in different things. When he knows how to wrap himself in tzitzis, we have him put on tzitzis. When he knows how to protect his tefillin properly, his father has to buy him tefillin. When he knows how to speak, the second he could speak, we already start teaching him Torah, at least the Pasuk Torah, Tziv Alana Moshe, Marash, Akilas Yaakov. And we start teaching him Kriya Shema, at least Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. When he knows how to be Shomer Gufo for Taro, so we assume that his guf is Torah. When he knows how to be Shomer Yadayim, we assume his Yadayim are Tahar. When he knows how to be Paris Kapav, had a Duchen, so then we can give him Truma by the Beis Agranos. We're allowed to treat him like a regular Kohen, who we give Truma to. If a Gadol watches him and he knows how to hold his hand steady, we can even trust his shchita. We only have to stay away from his tzoa and his meiraglayim once he's already able to digest normal foods. He's able to eat a kezayis of dagan b'chdei achilas pras. The Gemara tells us that if he's able to eat a kezayis of roasted meat, then he could already be included on the Karban Pesach. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he has to just be old enough to know what's food and what's not food. That if you give him a rock, he throws it away. You give him a nut, then he takes it. So that's already old enough to include him on the Karban Pesach. Now, that's the end of the third parak. The beginning of the fourth parak, the Mishnah just tells us the various mitzvos we do over the course of Sukkot and for how many days we do each of the mitzvos. So the mitzvah specifically of lulav and arava could either be done for 6 days or 7 days, depending when Shabbos falls out. If Shabbos falls out on the first day of Yontif, then we do lulav for all 7 days, including Shabbos. But if Shabbos falls out any of the other days, we only do lulav on every day except for Shabbos. And when it comes to the mitzvah of Arava, if Shabbos falls out on the seventh day, we do Arava for all 7 days, including Shabbos. If Shabbos falls out any of the other days, then we don't do Arava on Shabbos. But the Mishnah tells us that the system they used to have for when the first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos was that everyone would bring their lulav in advance, and the chazanim, they would have a separate room for the zakenim, so the zakenim wouldn't get bludgeoned to death as everyone was trying to get their lulav. But even so, just people coming to pick their lulav up the next morning when they would come into the Beis HaMikdash and the chazanim would lay out the lulav, everyone was mechatfinu makinishes chavero. People were beating each other up, so Beis HaMikdash saw that this is not a good idea, so they decided everyone shouldn't even come to the Beis HaMikdash. Not to lulav bebeso, they should take lulav in their own homes before even arriving at the Beis HaMikdash.